Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stage Right, the show that looks at the lack of conservative voices in theater and asks, why? With your host, Rocky Benisher.
Baby, it's cold outside. Baby, it's cold. If you are anywhere in the northern hemisphere of this country, you are freezing your cheeks off. And we are here too, but it's nice and warm and toasty here by the old Blog Talk Radio fire. I'm Rocky Benisher, and I want to welcome everybody to Stage Right, the show that's asking conservatives to get up off of that thing and make your voices heard.
Get up off of that thing and stand to shoot, you better get up.
All right. All right. Anyway, if you want to call in, our number is 347-884-9659. That number again is 347-884-9659. And to write to us, we always entertain questions through our email account, which is StageRightAudio1. I don't even know my own email account. StageRightAudio1 at gmail.com. StageRightAudio1 at gmail.com. Okay, so for weeks now, we have had guests on talking about the Republican Theater Festival in Philadelphia in 2012. We've had playwrights and we've had the producer. Today we're taking a different turn. And we've got a theater professional, a renowned theater professional from Columbus, Ohio, on the line with us. It's Mark Phillips Schwamberger. And we welcome you, Mark, to Stage Right.
Thank you, Rocky. I'm glad to be on the show.
Excellent. And Mark, let's get started with you telling our listeners a little bit about your background, what you're doing, and how you came to be the prominent theater professional that you are.
Well, my theater career lasted 35 plus years. I have worked in theater in New York as well as summer stock in Michigan. I have performed and directed musicals. Plays, cabaret shows, and I performed in Ohio, Florida, Michigan, Kentucky, and now I'm the managing director of Evolution Theater Company in Columbus, Ohio, and I received my degree in theater from The Ohio State University. So I've had a varied background in theater, from anywhere from constructing sets to directing to acting to running the box office. So I have had a long career in theater.
Well, I would say that having worked with you, you are a great theater professional, and I've seen you act, I've seen you direct, I've seen you produce, I've seen you get mad at casts. So we know that you've got what it takes. But today our topic, as our topic always is on Stage Right, is the what we perceive as the lack of conservative voices in theater. And I can't wait to talk to you about that. But Mark, you mentioned the Evolution Theater Company. Would you tell us a little bit more about that company and its focus?
Sure. The Evolution Theater Company, well, has been in existence as the Evolution Theater Company doing business as, I'm sorry, the Evolution Theater Incorporated, doing business as the Evolution Theater Company. I incorporated the company in 2011, and we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Our mission has been to always present new or seldom seen shows in the Columbus area. We don't do your normal fare. We don't do your King and I or Annie or Sound of Music. We do things that are new, that are currently, you know, off-Broadway or were off-Broadway. And in 2015, we branded ourselves into Columbus's only LGBTQIA theater company. I thought about this for a number of years, to rebrand ourselves, focus on the LGBT community and their allies, and to just concentrate on giving them a voice in the theater. So we our inaugural season will be 2015 under our new mission and our new brand.
So just for clarity's sake, and pardon my ignorance, LGBT, I know what that all means, but you added some more letters. And what are those?
It would be questioning, intersex, and ally. So the
okay.
QIA.
Okay. And that one, I have to be honest, I have not heard that addition to the LGBT acronym. So questioning, what is that? Questioning's one, sexuality?
Yes. Yes, the people that are questioning if they're gay, straight, bisexual. Intersex is basically the one that maybe you don't identify with any sex. You don't identify with straight or gay. And, of course, ally are the people in the community, whether they're mainly the gay, mainly the straight community, that are allies and support the LGBT community for their struggle to gain rights that everyone else has in the community.
Okay, fair enough. So let me start by asking this. Is that community, the LGBTQIA, make sure I got it right, are they, in your opinion, an unheard voice in the theater?
I believe that they are an underheard voice in the theater. I think that it has changed over the last decade or so, where the theater has become more open to that community. But I still think it's underserved in the sense that the history is underserved. As our shows in 2015, and I'll just make an I'll just have these examples. Our first show is Yank. Yank is a musical set in World War II about a love story between two gay men. Then we go to The Temperamentals, which is a true story, and Yank is based on true memoirs and writings. So it's basically based on true experiences. The next one is The Temperamentals, based on the true story of Harry Hay, the first gay rights activist who was fighting for gay rights long before Stonewall. Everybody thinks that the gay rights movement started with Stonewall. That's not true. There were many, many decades before that where people were fighting for their rights. We then go to Sordid Lives, which granted is a cult classic and a comedy, but it also is very poignant in the sense that it shows that it doesn't really matter what your family is. They're still family, and you need to accept them. There's an acceptance that needs to happen. And the last one is Xana Don't, that is a fantasy about a world where everyone is gay and that the heterosexuals are the ones that have the prejudice and the bigotry, showing the absurdity of not only that, but also the absurdity of the bigotry against if you're homosexual. In the play Xana Don't, they write this play about, that's called Don't Ask, Don't Tell, about straights in the military, keeping in the closet. All of the entire season, it's sort of like, you know, the thing with World War II, gay people have been around for a long time. In fact, with the imagination game coming out, how many people knew that a gay individual actually probably won the war for World War II by breaking the Enigma code. But because he was gay, he was persecuted and virtually pushed to suicide, even though he had such a big part in winning the war. I think it's important that, especially with it in the world today, and yes, everyone will say, yes, well, you've made progress with gay marriage. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. But we also have not made, there's also, with all the progress, there's a lot of pushback. Look what's happening in Alabama. Look what's happening all over, where even though the Supreme Court says it's the law, people say, well, we don't care. We're not going to do it. Even with that, even if gay marriage becomes the law of the land in April or May, Even though it's the law of the land, that doesn't mean there's going to be acceptance. Look at today. Even with the, it's the law of the land that a man, a black man and a white woman or vice versa can get married. A lot of people, that's not accepted. And so I felt, even though there has been a lot of progress made, there's still a lot of progress to be made, and that the gay community, the LGBTQIA community needed a way to voice their history, their accomplishments, and, you know, that be a to be the work, be the company that can bring that out, because they still need, it still needs to be heard. So that's why I decided, after many, after a couple of years of debating this, and I must say mm-hmm. with the complete support of my board, that are not all mm-hmm. gay individuals, I was very pleased that they embraced it, and I must say that we have gotten very good reception since we announced our rebranding.
Well, Mark, that's fine. You know, what I do know about the Evolution Theater Company was that it used to support the development of brand new plays, new playwrights coming on the scene. For people like me, that was a very exciting thing. And the LGBTQIA, I understand where it's important to you to get that voice out, but it was kind of disappointing for those of us who wanted to promote original plays. Did you feel there was an economic choice to be made there too? Were people not coming out to see the original pieces, but you felt that there was a bigger, more prominent audience for the LGBTQIA?
No, actually, economics had absolutely nothing to do with my decision. Economics, whether you do anything that is a new play, whether it's LGBT, whether it's in whatever the category, whatever mm-hmm. the genre about the theater, any mm-hmm. new work is a very, very big risk. Yank is a new work.
Right.
Yank, we will only be the third city that's ever produced Yank. The Temperamentals mm-hmm. is a new work. We will, you know, we'll only be, you know, that's, it's not. So these, everything we're doing this year is still a risk. Everything we're doing is still new. Yeah. I mean, the one that is the most popular probably is Sordid Lives, but that's because of the movie. No, economics had nothing to do with it. If anything, I didn't, I expected economics to be a bigger problem when I rebranded ourselves. I mean, it's very difficult to get, I mean, I have playwrights sending me plays every day. I have plays mm-hmm. coming in every day. Do this play. And it's sort of like, yeah, that's fine, but a normal play, just a normal straight, well, I'll take that word back. just a normal play with, let's say, five characters, mm-hmm. cost between $5,000 and $7,000 to produce. Now, it's a known fact that a nonprofit theater only makes 35% of its operating cost through ticket sales. That means we have to get 65% of our operating through grants, support, donations, whatever. So doing, yes, it might be a fabulous play, but especially in Columbus, Ohio, it's very difficult to get people to take a chance and to go see something new. They want to be careful. They want to see the Sound of Music. They want to see the hit. They want to, if they see something, they want to either be able to recite the lines or hum the music before they come in. It's very difficult to promote these, and it's sort of like, so, you know, yes, am I taking a risk? Of course I am. But Evolution Theater Company has taken a risk with almost every show that they have ever produced. So economics had really nothing to do with it. What had to do with it is for us to give a clear, concise vision of what we are, who we are, and that the public knows exactly who we are and what we are. A lot of theater companies do new works, but if you look at Evolution Theater Company, you have no doubt of what we stand for.
It doesn't hurt, though, right, that Columbus, Ohio has a large gay LGBT population, though. I mean, so I thought there was a – I thought it said that we were second after – and we are in Columbus, Ohio, folks, and people know that I am – that we were second to San Francisco. Is that – that's true, isn't it?
Well, I don't think – I just saw something in the paper, and actually – Fort Lauderdale and Seattle are the one and two for gay for same-sex couples in the country. Columbus does have a very big gay population. It also has a very young population. It also has a very educated population because of the universities, and it also has a very professional because of all the insurance and banks. Of course, If I was in Little Rock, Arkansas, no, I wouldn't have done this. I mean, that would have been suicide. I mean, you know, it's sort of like, yes, of course I took that into consideration, that I'm doing this because I think that it can be supported in Columbus. I mean, you know, even though I'm, you know, a nonprofit, you're not going to, you know, do something that you don't think is going to survive. So, of course, I took that into consideration.
Excellent. Okay, so getting to what Stage Right is about now, I hear you and I respect what you have to say about the voice of the LGBT QIA. It doesn't roll off the tongue, Mark. I'm just going to let you know that. LGBTQIA community.
Rocky, just say LGBT. That's good. That's fine.
Okay, LGBT. Okay, so the premise of Stage Right is that the conservative viewpoint is similarly, I wouldn't say it's underheard, I'd say it's not heard in the theater and has not been heard, maybe never, but it's not been heard for a long time. So could you respect that point of view? Do you think that's valid?
Well, I guess I am confused about what do you mean the conservative voice has not been heard? I mean, up until the not, you know, too recent past, I see, you know, like, for example, I see Anything Goes as being very conservative. I'm confused about, do you mean conservative politically or conservative socially? Because look at Anything Goes. I mean, you wouldn't consider Anything Goes that's currently playing in Columbus to be a avant-garde musical, would you?
Today we would not. No, I think in its day it may have been. Don't forget the title song. But you're right. No,
right.
Anything Goes, I don't think would be considered as avant-garde. So is that what non-conservative theater is? Is it simply the avant-garde?
That's what my take on it. I mean, I'm not trying to take theater into the political arena. I am trying to take it into the educational arena. I believe theater is a very powerful educational tool. I think that entertainment is a very powerful educational tool. And that's where I'm taking it. I'm not taking it into the political arena, if that's what you mean by the conservative voice. I guess I'm looking at a conservative voice more in the stories presented in a play or musical rather than the political side of it.
Okay.
I may be wrong in your interpretation, but.
Well, you know, I think that the interpretation for us here at Stage Right is evolving, okay? We see plays out there all the time, I think, and other forms of art that we conservatives find a little insulting and demeaning to our way of life or to the things we believe in. And, you know, there's no secret that there is no real conservative voice out there in the theater. And what people who are kind of against the conservative movement will say is that the plays that are presented have no merit. But I would say that there are more political things afoot here, and that when a when a piece is construed as being conservative in value, it is immediately shelved and underappreciated because of that. But what they blame it on is the quality of the writing. So let me give you an example, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We know Evolution Theater Company put on a play by Rich Orloff called Skin Deep. Did you feel mm-hmm. that was a political piece? Do you feel that was a political piece?
No.
Go ahead.
I considered it more as a piece. I didn't see it political at all. What I saw is that it was a piece that was saying people may be different, and even though you may not embrace their thoughts and ideas, you have to respect their thoughts and ideas. I don't see why you saw Skin Deep as being political.
I saw it as being political. Now, listeners know that we spent a little time on Skin Deep on this show. And by the way, Mark, we praise the production at Evolution Theater Company, so just so you know. But we did find the piece to be a little bit a bit political. And I was thinking specifically about these ideas. Number one, you have a character named George. He's the guy who comes in from Ohio, of all places, and he mm-hmm. takes over this motel that is kind of a liberated sexually liberated motel where kind of anything goes and it's okay. It seemed to me that George is throughout this play belittled, and because he is from Ohio, therefore he must be some kind of conservative buffoon, and they present him as such. He's straight, and I don't mean it in terms of sexuality, but of course he is. He's narrow. He's blithering, you know, and of course it's all the others who are liberated and smart and have real deep feelings. Am I misreading the Orloff's point, do you think?
I think that perhaps you're being too sensitive in the sense that, yes, but let's face it. Think about Rich Orloff. Let's face it. Ohio has a reputation of being conservative, and especially coming from Dayton, Ohio. They were mm-hmm. came from Dayton, Ohio. That has a reputation. For example, look, the only circuit that upheld the ban on gay marriage was the Sixth Circuit. It's only mm-hmm. so, I mean, history proves this. So, I mean, I think you're being a little sensitive when he was simply, I mean, what would have been, would you have felt that it was less political if he had them be from Indianapolis, Indiana? Just as well have been from Indianapolis. The whole point was that George was uptight about this, and in the end, I hope you discuss the end with these people. In the end, he did not necessarily change his views. He accepted the other people's views that came to the clothing optional guest house. And first of all, again, the situation was very stereotypical of Key West. That's Key West. I don't know if you've ever been to Key West, but that's Key West. But I think that this is probably my take on a lot of this, and it's a take. I'm not saying it's just the conservatives. It's the liberals mm-hmm. also, in the sense that they take one piece and become too sensitive about it. I don't believe that the theater is doing anything to undermine, or that the conservative voice is not being heard. What I really think is, theater, the arts, artists have always been on the forefront of pushing the box. So I think that now, with the way that we're going, I think that the pendulum is simply swinging the other way. And, I mean, let's face it, I can remember when Boys in the Band came out, and that was like, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Right,
before
right,
that,
Mark
before that, the topic of homosexuality, if it was brought into the theater, it wasn't mentioned like that. It was a tea and sympathy thing,
mm-hmm.
where you look
mm-hmm.
where it was there, but it wasn't really named. I mean, look at you know, now, and I believe that's why now so many entertainment and people in the entertainment industry are coming out, because now they know it won't destroy their career. It won't. They can still play. Why does anybody think that if somebody plays a gay role, they're gay? If you're an actor,
mm-hmm.
you can play a gay role if you're straight, just like how many thousands of gay actors have played straight. This concept to me is very prejudicial and very close-minded to say that, oh, if he's playing that gay role, he must be gay. And you know, and I also think that, and I also think that I read your thing about, you know, that you highlighted Skin Deep, but Skin Deep was only one show. Did you see Sons of the Prophet that we did? That had a conservative character in it. Didn't you think Uncle Bill was giving some voice to the conservatives? Didn't you think that that character that I played showed some conservative, even though he was able to say, yeah, I have gay grandchildren and I accept them, but I really don't understand it. I mean, that to me is true. That to me, Skin Deep was also what I would consider a satirical piece. It was a satire. It wasn't meant to be a realistic as Sons of the Prophet was. And I don't know if you saw Bear. I don't know if you saw Bear the musical. I mean, Bear the musical, the pop opera. I mean, Bear, it's sort of like, then this brings about the reason that I also rebranded, in the sense that Bear, if Bear the pop opera saved one young person's life, or gave one young person the courage to come out and be who they were, it was worth the tens of thousands of dollars that it spent to put it on and the thousands of hours that it spent. If I saved one young person's life, it was worth it. Whether that's conservative, liberal, I don't care. All I'm saying is that in this society, we need to realize that people are still, especially young people, are still being bullied. They're still being committing suicide. We have not become a warm and fuzzy community or society. That, and as much as I think that the liberal voice needs to be heard, yes, I agree. The conservative voice needs to be heard also. All voices should be heard in the theater. But
that is, I was going to say, that is something that we embrace together. All voices need to be heard.
I agree.
We do not promote the silencing of the left voice in favor of the right on Stage Right. And those who are listening who think that, that's not what we're about. Mark, we got 30 seconds, so if you want to finish your last point and then tell us what's going on with Mark in the future.
Okay, well, what's going on with Mark in the future? Right now I'm in Florida directing and performing in the Shakespeare Conspiracy. And in the future, we're just going to keep going in Columbus, Ohio, and we have two special guests coming in. So if anybody's in Columbus, please watch our website for more exciting announcements. But, Rocky, I want to thank you for the opportunity to talk to you. And
Both
agree, all voices in theater should be heard.
I agree. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Mark, it's a pleasure. And folks, we're exiting stage right.
Thank you.